Welcome back. You're with the News at One. A new report prepared by the Department of Finance says that by 2050, the annual cost to the state of age-related spending will be 17 billion euros higher than it is today. Right now, there are four working people for every one person who's retired. By 2050, there'll be just two working people for every retiree. The report says that linking the state pension age to life expectancy could significantly reduce the burden on the state. We can talk now to Pascal Donoghue, Minister for Finance. Minister, thank you for joining us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Justin.
This report warns about the rising costs associated with an ageing population. Is an increase in the pension age now the only way that you can realistically respond to these challenges?
Well, the government will make a decision on that in due course. Minister Humphreys will be briefing Cabinet on the conclusion of a very important inquiry and commission into this matter. And then when the government has considered this matter more fully, we'll be in a position then to make a decision on the matter and communicate it.
This report, though, that you have published today, this seems to point only in one direction, and that is towards increasing the pension age. Isn't that right?
Well, no, the report is a reminder of the key issues the government is already aware of, which is that we have a very young population at the moment, and then as we move through the coming years and coming decades, the age profile will shift, and that will have an impact on all of our public services. These are matters the government is aware of, and what we need to do, which we'll do, is we'll make a decision that is financially sustainable and one that we can make the case for on the grounds of fairness.
Is there another way, other than increasing the pension age, is there another way to make it financially sustainable? For example, Sinn Féin is saying that it's actually going to bring down the retirement age back to 65 and that it would pay for that by increasing PRSI contributions on what it says are gold-plated pensions. Is that workable?
But that is only one of the many commitments that Sinn Féin are making at the moment. They are saying they want to improve local services, but they want to abolish the local property tax.
Okay, but I just want to focus on this for a moment, Minister. Is their policy, which has been costed, is that a workable alternative to increasing the pensions age?
But again, we get into the consequences of a decision like that. The effect that could have, for example, on the cost of creating and retaining a job. And in any decision the government makes, there will be consequences to it. And I do think it's important to put the Sinn Féin specific a commitment in the context of every other commitment they make and the unaffordability of all of them in the round.
So is there then an alternative to increasing the pensions age?
Well, this is what the government is going to be considering across the coming months. It's why we've received a very detailed report from a commission on the matter. And what we will do is, conscious of the costs of issues that we will have to face in the future, and also of the need to be able to maintain the social contract in the future and give the right level of social support in the future to this generation as it gets older, we're going to consider this matter carefully and we'll be making a decision on it in due course.
When will you do that? When will you publish the report from the Pensions Commission, which was leaked last week and reportedly recommends increasing the pension age to 67, but we won't know until it's out. When will it be out?
Well, that's a matter for the government, and the Minister Humphreys will make a recommendation in relation to it, but I would expect that the Cabinet subcommittee that deals with this issue will be briefed on it very soon. And I expect after that it will go to Cabinet and be published shortly after that. So we do have to allow the government to consider and all members of government to be briefed on the report, and we'll publish it very shortly after that.
All right. You're preparing to deliver another budget next month. Your department published its tax strategy papers last night. One of those papers says that a €5 a week increase in the old age pension would have no effect on poverty rates for older people. You're effectively being advised to rule out a pension increase here, aren't you?
Well, the government, through the Tax Strategy Group paper, receives many different recommendations in relation to options for both taxation and expenditure. I am conscious of the fact that there's been no change at all in many of the payments that are really important to our pensioners and vulnerable members of our society now over the last number of years. And the government will be considering the social welfare element of the budget now in the next number of weeks. The key thing is, year by year, we have put together different social welfare programmes at budget time to support those who need the help the most. And Minister Humphreys and the government will continue to do that.
Are you ruling out...
We'll consider all the options in relation to this, Justin, in the budget, which will be taking place in next Tuesday, 3 weeks.
Are you ruling out a €5 a week increase in the old age pension?
But the budgetary process at the moment, Justin, is ongoing. It's just not simply appropriate for myself or any minister to give an indication on the contents of the budget or its announcement until the budgetary process has concluded. It's underway at the moment. And as you'll well know, no government or no government minister is in a position to predetermine what the budget will be many weeks in advance of it being announced.
It would be politically problematic, though, wouldn't it, for government backbenchers to have to go back to their constituents after the budget if there wasn't going to be a pensions increase?
All members of the government have many issues within our society and within our constituencies that we want to make progress on. Over the last two budgets in particular, while it didn't contain a change in the pension or equivalent payments to the pension, it did contain other valuable changes to our social welfare programmes and policies. So my expectation is what government parties will want to see is a social welfare package that can make progress on many of the pressing issues and needs that we have in our society at the moment, particularly the risk of poverty, and that's what government parties will want to see happen. And then the detail and constituent elements of that programme will be determined then in the final days before the budget.
What's your response to the Fiscal Advisory Council, which says your plans to expand public services, to ramp up investment and cut taxes all at the same time avoids making the hard choices that are necessary and potentially puts the public finances at risk?
Well, I welcome, firstly, the recognition that the Fiscal Advisory Council have given of our budgetary strategy during the pandemic. Our economic supports have worked. They helped protect our economy at exactly the time it needed protection when we were dealing with the effects of this terrible disease. In terms of decisions that the government will make, you know, the one thing that is certain on budget day is that when I announce the decisions that we make and when Minister McGrath announces the decisions that we make, they will be seen by many not to be making enough progress and not to be meeting different issues that are raised with us before the budget. It's intrinsic in the budget day process that we have to make decisions within a limited amount of money, albeit that amount of money is far bigger than it has been in the past. Our overall budgetary strategy will see us by 2023 eliminating all the borrowing that we have for day-to-day spending. And I believe that will put us in a very solid basis then for dealing with the medium-term issues that the Fiscal Advisory Council raised during the week. I listen to what they say carefully, and my focus for now and the focus of Minister McGrath will be how we change the emergency levels of borrowing that we've had when we were in the depths of a health emergency. But as we put the health emergency behind us, we have to look at the changes that are needed now in levels of borrowing.
Okay. Can I ask you about political matters? Did the President, Michael D. Higgins, make the right decision not to turn down the invitation to attend a religious service marking the partition of Ireland in Armagh next month?
So I can think of one of the very important features of recent presidencies is the vital role they have played in reconciliation and in responding back to the communities, to the traditions on our island. And President Higgins has made an extraordinary contribution to deeper understanding and to the needs of reconciliation on the island of Ireland. And I have the utmost of respect for him. The President is constitutionally independent to the government, and I very much respect and understand the decision he has made. And as a President, he embodies the qualities that we need on our island at the moment.
The former Taoiseach John Bruton has said that the President acts on behalf of the entire state, that he's not a private citizen, and when he receives invitations like this, that he should have sought, that he should have consulted with the government and sought the advice of the government. Should he have sought a decision from the government here, and should the government have provided him with specific advice in relation to this?
The President is independent in the exercise of his functions and in the how he conducts himself in this office, and he has used that independence to such great effect on our island and in our country now during his term and in all of the decisions that he has made. So as I said in the earlier part of
Minister, you say he's independent, but the Constitution states that the powers and functions conferred on the President shall be exercisable and performable by him only on the advice of the government. Doesn't that provision mean that this should be a government decision rather than one for the President to make himself?
And the President and the government, through the Department of Foreign Affairs, are in constant contact and in constant dialogue with the Office of the President of Ireland. But inside the constitutional parameters that you referred to a moment ago is also respect that is there for the autonomy and independence of his office. And President Higgins has exercised that independence in many times and in many ways that has embodied the qualities that our country and our island needs at the moment. And he is doing that and will continue to do it.
Minister Simon Coveney is at an ecumenical service in Belfast today to mark the partition of Ireland. Why is it all right for him to go to a service like this, but not for the President to go?
Well, I'm not aware of the exact details of the event that Minister Coveney is attending at the moment. And Minister Coveney is indeed in Northern Ireland, continuing with the exceptional work that he is doing in Northern Ireland on behalf of the government. And what Minister Coveney will do, and indeed what our President will do, is make decisions on individual events and decide what is appropriate to attend or not attend. And just as Minister Coveney will have made a decision that I'm sure is appropriate, I know our President will have considered this event very, very carefully and has exercised his independence and judgment on the matter.
Just on a final issue, Minister, your colleague Stephen Donnelly was on Prime Time last night. I don't know if you saw it, but he said that the government has a problem with leaks coming from the Cabinet. Do you agree?
Well, I certainly believe that leaking should not be taking place from Cabinet, that Cabinet confidentiality should be and must be respected at all times. And if that isn't happening, of course it should be a concern or an issue for government. And I believe we should be in a place that any discussions that take place in Cabinet happen in a confidential way. That is the case on the vast majority of occasions, but I believe it should be the case on all occasions.
We had a leak about the Mother and Baby Homes report. We had a leak about the appointment of Catherine Zappone. Does there need to be an investigation into the Zappone leak?
Well, that's a matter for the Taoiseach, it's a matter for the party leaders. But while you do point to incidents in which there does appear to have been sharing of information or views after a cabinet discussion has taken place, of course, it's also the case that there have been many, many other sensitive decisions, many other important matters dealt with in cabinet in which information has emerged in the appropriate way.
Yes, but in
that
relation to the Catherine Zappone decision, would you welcome, if the Taoiseach were to open an investigation into that, would you welcome that?
Well, as I said a moment ago, Justin, it's not appropriate for me to comment on how the Taoiseach may exercise his powers or his duties in the future. That is a matter for the Taoiseach. The Taoiseach continually emphasises to us the need for decisions in Cabinet, for Cabinet discussions to be treated in the right way by members of Cabinet. That happens on the vast majority of occasions, and on the isolated number of cases in which that appears not to be happening, it's something, as I said, which I believe should not occur, and I hope in the future will not occur.
This leak caused untold damage to your party. Should it not be investigated?
Well, I think it was the issue in relation to the appointment of Catherine Zappone as special envoy. All of the issues, all of the difficulties that we've had in relation to that are ones that we in Fine Gael have acknowledged.
Okay.
Should have been handled differently and will be handled differently in the future.
All right.
So in terms of what should happen in the future, our party has been very clear, and we've been very clear in government that many of the issues that occurred in the run-up to this appointment were not appropriate and won't happen again in the future.
All right. Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, thank you very much indeed for talking to us on the News at One.